dramatic, isn't it? This is very dramatic. I'm Margaret. I was supposed to announce the program. I'm Margaret Gray. Welcome to the... I can't do it.
You don't like the music, huh?
I'm not going to announce the opening of your program. I'm listening to this man screaming for someone's blood. That's what sangre means.
Oh, that's very cosmopolitan of you. Welcome to the Phil Henry Show. I don't know. That's just the bumper music, okay?
This is a song about sucking the blood from someone's neck. That's what this is about. Is there anyone here that is listening to me?
Not really. It's the Phil Henry Show.
You know.
And welcome to our Wednesday morning program. The problem you're having is what?
It's not a problem I'm having. The song is, it's, here it is here, sangre por sangre. That means blood. I believe that is Italian, but...
Probably it's Portuguese.
Is it Portuguese?
I don't know what it is. Who cares? So, welcome to the program.
Well, Phil, don't snap at me like I'm... Don't snap at me...
Just sit slap at me.
Yeah, don't snap at me or slap at me like I'm the washerwoman. I don't like the song. I didn't want to announce the show to that kind of rubbish. That's all.
Margaret, I don't think it's in your purview. You know...
General, would you just let me do this?
All right, we don't have to argue right off the bat, do we, about the God-bloody-blessed...
Oh, listen to you with the GD.
Well, we're starting an argument off right out of the gate with this the music. And we don't... You said you wanted to announce the show. Why?
Because there are a number of very important issues to deal with today. One of them, and I know we'll be having Dean Wheeler on later on, is Gwyneth Paltrow... and her separation from the gentleman from what is the group?
Coldplay.
From Coldplay, yes. She's separating from him, and this is a sad day when you see these young people who were putting so much into their marriages.
Yeah, you know the name of the guy.
I beg your pardon?
What's the name of the guy from Coldplay?
Coldplay? You really are a gloid, aren't you?
What's the name of the guy?
You don't know the name of the guy. The singer.
The name of the guy, huh? Is that the respect you have for him? His name, Phil.
Well, what respect do you have for him? What's his name?
Excuse me, I won't be interrogated like I'm Adolf Eichmann. Excuse me.
Margaret.
No, excuse me.
I got money, Margaret, that says you don't even know the name of the guy in Coldplay. Okay?
The name of the group, Phil, is Coldplay.
Is what? All right, the name of the group is Coldplay. The name of the guy is, I don't know, Chris, is that his name? Chris Martin?
Well, you're looking at, don't ask me, for Christ's sake. I would, look at this guy asking me.
No, his name's Chris Martin, I think.
Well, we're going to have on I'm sorry, I don't listen to their music, so I don't know anything. I guess I should. Because I hear their music suck. No, I'm just kidding, it's fine. The story will be covered in great detail, I am sure, by our good friend Margaret Gray and others. We also have Bob Green to kick things off in the show tonight, or this afternoon. Listen to me, I'm still a creature of habit.
Well, you know, they say that old habits die hard. You still think you're on at night, huh?
I don't think I'm on at night. I know I'm on in the morning. God knows I know I'm on in the morning, but I just blurts out of my face. Hey, welcome to the Phil Henry Show. And we're on at night, but we're not. We're on here at 9 a.m. El Pacifico time. I have been remiss. You know, we do our show here not more than a couple of hundred yards from the sandy stretches of the El Pacifico here on the West Coast. We're about 40 miles north of the city of Los Angeles along the coast.
Yeah, it probably has the crow flies and everything.
As the what?
Yeah, as the crow flies.
No, we're not 40 miles north as the crow flies. As the crow flies, we're probably only about 20 or 25 miles north. But as the road goes...
So not as the crow flies?
No, not as the crow flies. You know...
Do you know what they mean when they say as the crow fly?
Yeah.
Yes, I do. Yeah, I know what it means.
Well, Phil, don't get irritated. We wanted to make sure you knew that the crow flying... Well, so the crow doesn't take the road. Oh, you're right about that.
No, the crow's going to go where the crow want to go.
Yeah, the crow's going to go where the crow want to go. Will you listen to me for 5 seconds?
I'm back. I want in on this. Now,
Margaret, you don't get to go to the can and do whatever you're doing in there.
Well, what do you think I'm doing in the can? You think I'm fooling around in there? Good Lord, Phil.
Well, you got up and left because you didn't know the name of the guy that sings in Coldplay.
The name is Coldplay. No?
Coldplay is what Mr. Henry said.
Coldplay, yes. And I got up because I was being grilled and interrogated like some bitch punk.
All right, I apologize.
Thank you, Vera. That's all I was looking for.
All right. Now, what do you want in on?
What were you talking about?
We're talking about is the crow fly. Or the crow flies.
Oh, the voice. See, he just blew it again. I gotta leave.
What?
I gotta go to the cat.
Why are you getting up and leaving?
When the voice cracks, I crack.
What's the problem?
Why don't you get some water for the general so his voice isn't cracking, please?
Come on, General, go get a Nilla wafer, cottage cheese, and everything.
Sounds good to me.
I'll tell you what's wrong with him. You know what's wrong with him? He's eating all that cottage cheese.
No, I'm going to say, that caused all the phlegm.
It does. It causes phlegm, and that's what you got, General.
Say that again?
No, forget it. So as the crow flies, we're about 20 miles north of L.A., but as the road goes... And actually, to get to L.A., what am I doing? Never mind, you don't need to know how. So that's where we're located, but the weather here over the last several weeks, you know, they're saying it's a drought. And droughts are droughts, man. I mean, it's not the first drought we've had in California. And I mentioned this on the night show when news originally reached us from, you know, we're here at the outpost. So news came in from the civilized world that there's a drought going on. And I remember saying on the air, well, okay, I mean, we've had them before, like a 7-year drought back in the 80s and early 90s. And not one word was mentioned about climate change or anything like that. Now, I understand that climate change exists. I do believe that it does. I don't want to get on the bad side of that. I don't want anybody to, you know, burn me an effigy or kick my ass or anything. But I want to say, and I really believe this, the urgency that one would believe exists if one were to watch these movies like the one that Leonardo da Vinci made, the great star of Titanic.
Leonardo DiCaprio, are you kidding?
Yes, I think so, yeah.
All right, I just...
Leonardo, whatever his name was. Leonardo DiCaprio is the guy that did the Mona Lisa, right?
You are kidding.
Yes. So, anyway, he made that movie. Remember, he was, what was he saying in that, bud?
Yeah, he's talking about, you better watch out, because there's going to be a tidal wave and a tsunami, too.
Yeah, I remember that. What do you mean a tidal wave and a tsunami, too? Are you that stupid? That I have to reach over it. I'm only kidding.
But it was a big panicky thing.
Leonardo DiCaprio has been on the front lines of warning us about climate change. I don't think I want to sit in the same room where you're mocking him.
Get Margaret, please sit down.
My God, ordering me around. What bug got up your ass this morning?
Nothing. I feel fantastic. I just want to get organized around here. So, yeah, I don't believe that we are on the verge of a hellacious, all-out assault on civilization as we know. In other words, you know, there's no... I do not believe there's a tsunami on the way, okay, bud?
Yeah.
And I don't think that the whole thing's going to hell in a handcart. I realize that we do owe to future generations some... You know, some responsibility, however minimal. I feel I have responsibility to future generations, so every now and again, I buy a light bulb that makes sense, but I'm not all that put out by it. You know, future generations, they're just going to have to take care of their own asses, okay? Because I'm here now. And until we find out if there's a God, to quote Jason Patrick and your friends and neighbors, until we find out for sure there's a God and all that stuff, we're on my time.
He always laughs at that.
You love that line, don't you, Phil?
Yes, I do. It's very funny. All right, Bob Green is going to join us first up here when we come back from the break. We're going to talk about Candy Crush Saga.
This is something else, ladies and gentlemen, that Phil has been taking great glee in.
Well, no, it's not glee, although I'm sure Bob is going to take exception to me. Candy Crush Saga is that game that you may or may not have heard about. And it's a game that people are playing odd night. In fact, I was playing it not too long ago, and I was working on a job. See, I had a job, right? And I'm out there, and I'm on the job. Another one of the workers on the job says to me, "Jesus H. Christ, are you playing that?"
You were on a TV show.
All right. I just said it was a job.
It's not a job, Phil. It's a very glamour. Why do you say it's a job? You were on the set, and there were cameras, and you know.
Yeah, Mr. Aaron, why did you say that?
You know what? It's a job, okay? So I was on a job, and one of my co-workers...
Another actor.
Yeah, said they heard me because there was a break.
Yes, they called cut.
And so I was sitting there...
On the set.
All right, Margaret, we get it. And I was playing Candy Crush, and apparently they heard the music, and they said, oh, Jesus, are you playing that? They said, I gave that up, man, because I want my life back. King Digital Entertainment is down 8%. King Digital Entertainment PLC is trading in the red in its market debut on the heels of an initial public offering that valued the Candy Crush Saga game maker at more than $7 billion. Well, guess what? The shares opened at $20.50 Wednesday, down 8.9% from the $22.50 price offered by the investors in King IPOs in King's initial public offering on Tuesday. And it continued to fall lower. The stock hit a low Tuesday of $19.08 and recently traded around $20. King's shares are listed on the New York Stock Exchange under the symbol King. At $22.50, which was the midpoint of the range the company had expected, the deal raised $350 million for King and another $150 million for early investors such as private equity Apex Partners LLP, which is another one of those private equity investment deals. The company and its shareholders sold 22.2 million shares. They have granted underwriters the option to sell an additional 3.3. Now,
I don't understand a lot of that stuff you're saying, Mr. Aaron.
I understand that. We're going to get into that. Robert Green, who's the CEO of Fraser Foods, he did invest in Candy Crush Saga. I have no idea. I don't imagine Bob's mood will be all that boogie-woogie, sugar and spice and everything nice when we talk to him in moments. Now,
Will you get to it, for Christ's sake? I want to find out whether I ought to invest in the Candy King... You know.
Well, you know my feeling on Candy Cane Saga, whatever it's called. I played. Thank God in heaven, I didn't invest, nor did I advise Frank. Frank will have none of it. Frank has none of it. Frank is a very sober and wise investor. And that's why, thank God, knock wood, we're very, very comfortable today. I'm Margaret Gray.
Just so you folks know, the compromise we worked out with Margaret...
My God, you're not going to share this with the... Phil, if you do that, I'm calling David Hall.
I'm sharing with the audience what's going on. It's the most bizarre thing in the history of man on this planet, so I have to.
Get David Hall on the phone.
Don't do anything. Margaret worked out a deal with us so that we can't just be mute after she says, I'm Margaret Gray, which was the original deal. Nobody could say anything after that. Now, that still holds when we're having debates. So if she says, I'm Margaret Gray, she wins the debate. We have to move on to the next point. However, she can't say, I'm Margaret Gray, and expect that there's no talking after that.
Thank you for being so clear about that. You called me Margaret Gay.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
So the compromise we worked out is when she says, I'm Margaret Gray, but we still have to talk after that, Bud applauds.
Right, I'm going to applaud, and they told me I get to do that.
Yes, and that means there's a nice, I think, exclamatory point put on it.
Well, Margaret, you don't have any problem talking about it now.
Yes, because I'm explaining it. General, don't try and one-up me, all right?
I'm not. I just wonder. This entire conversation baffles me beyond... I think I stand in good stead with the audience when I say the audience agrees with me, General Galen Shaw, that all of you people are jacked way over. Way over.
All right, well, it's a bizarre conversation. I will give you that. All right, so what happened with Frank?
Frank who? Oh, Frank...
Your husband.
Yes, Frank. I said to Frank, don't do it, Frank. God, don't do it. 10 years for killing an enlisted man. No, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Platoon. I said...
Don't invest in Candy Crush Saga.
Yes. Although I was angry, and again, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I called it Candy... I think I called it Candy F-Word Faga. And I do apologize for that.
Boy, you're using the F-Word, the Faga, and I used the N-Word in the pre-show.
I was shocked when I heard that.
Oh, I was joking around. I was making a point. That guy, that cat that does that song...
Phil, nobody's going to know what you're talking about, for Jesus' sake.
Well, I'm just going to mention, there's a song called Break the Bank by some hip-hop artist, and he samples a baby crying. It's the most irritating, disgusting, and very disturbing sound. And he samples it throughout this track, which completely detracts from it. And I think the song's a piece of shit. And I wanted you to know that, whoever you are, sir. And I wouldn't know you, man, if I tripped over you in the fucking dark. But the song blows chipmunks, chimpanzees, every animal that starts with a C-H. Chimera or chimera, whatever those are called.
Every animal that starts with a C-H, huh?
Yeah, you're going to have fun. Ah, you stinking.
But if you cut one more fart...
I'm sorry.
God damn it, man. You do that again, man, you're fired. Well, maybe not fired.
Yeah, you can't fire me for the naturalness of it.
The what?
He says you can't fire him for a natural but... Oh, man, that's wild. That's...
Oh, Bud.
Bud, that's what I call a wild fart. That came from... That came right out of the jungle, didn't it?
Yeah, well, I can't help it.
All right, we'll take a break here on the Phil Hendry Show and be back. We've got Robert Greene and a bunch of other bullshit to talk about. As we commence on this Wednesday here from our Listen Live line, you can listen live on the Phil Hendry website. You can also listen live on TuneIn, tunein.com. Or no, just TuneIn. I don't want to give any URLs, although that's probably where they're at. And if you have your mobile with you, and you should have your mobile with you, we are live and mobile on TuneIn or listen live at philhendryshow.com. philhendryshow.com. Back in just
a moment, yeah.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, I'm General Galen Shaw reminding you, if you're thinking of investing in Candy Crush Saga, man, I feel sorry for you.
Phil Hendry will be right back here on a beautiful Wednesday from El Pacifico.
Cause in your Jesus. Eyes, I just never added up. In my heart, I know I failed.
Yes, the very overwrought wailings of Five Finger Death Punch. I like this band a lot. Not crazy with the overwrought dramatic renderings.
Well, look at you. You're getting very critical, aren't you?
Yeah, I think that's my job. All right, welcome back here to the program, folks. Later on, Dave Oliva will be talking with us about the Secret Service agents that were sent home from the Netherlands and...
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, are you telling me those jive-ass mothers... They didn't do it again, did they?
Apparently the Secret Service agents, yes, they got hammered or something.
I don't know if they got hammered, but they had to send home some more Secret Service agents. I believe, personally, and this is what I think, and I can't wait for the political opponents of President Obama to weigh in on this. Now, look, I don't want to show any favoritism or whatever, but every single move this president makes, these cats in Congress, these Republicans, they can't fucking wait to jump all over this guy. What is the story with you cats? Isn't there one thing this guy does right? Because I'm going to tell you this. This is all I'm trying to say. The next Republican that becomes president, the next Republican president, is going to have hell to pay. The liberals and the progressives, all those guys, are going to be all over that guy like stink on shit. As God is my witness, they're going to make life absolutely miserable because that's how they read this situation with you guys and Obama. They think you guys are being nitpicky, you're being petty, you're doing everything you possibly can just to stop this guy. There's no real rhyme or reason. You just don't like the fact that he's black and he's a... You know,
Phil, now don't get there's no racial component.
Oh, bullshit. Come on.
You think there is?
Well, yeah, you do too, don't you?
Well, I'm weighing it.
Oh, so anyway, they're going to have a field day. And I say this because I know there have been good Republican presidents, just as my close personal friend, not really, Tom Hartman, the progressive talk show host, has said, conservatives are necessary. You need them every now and again, just as you need progressives. So there's no real... You know, there's no such thing as a world that would be perfectly ordered if there were no conservatives or no liberals. It wouldn't work that way. It wouldn't be a good world. Just as the ecology would be upset if there were no sharks in the... What are you doing?
I'm pretending like I'm nodding off.
Yeah, I saw that. What, am I getting boring?
Listen, you gotta move on, you know? Then everything's getting kind of messed up.
I'm Margaret Gray, bud.
Hey.
Don't do that.
Well, he does, his heart isn't in it.
Oh, he's going, hey. So what does that mean?
That's my comment that I'm being forced to do it on account of I'm being forced into it, and I don't really want to do it.
What?
Never mind, okay. Robert Greene joining us here from Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California. Always good to be talking with you, Bob. I like talking to you in the morning. How you been?
I'm doing pretty good, Phil. It's great to talk with you as well. And how is everyone there?
Bob, we're very well. This is Margaret, and obviously we want to talk to you about the Candy Crush.
It's called Candy Crush Saga, Margaret. Although I understand why you would want to mispronounce it this morning, I want to mispronounce it too. I've been bitterly disappointed overnight. We got a very busy store here. We just opened up because our summer spectacular is happening now, Phil. All of our summer snack foods and summer picnic foods, everything going 5% off with your Fraser Food I'm Bob Green coupon. And you can see that. You can clip that out in the Orange County Courier today. I just want to get that in.
Absolutely. So you guys would get the Orange County Courier, clip out the Fraser Food. Hold on, Bob. Excuse me for just a minute.
Clip out the Fraser Food. What happened there?
I'm sorry?
Well, you were launching into it, and then you went, hold on, I got to do something. You sounded distracted, so I didn't want to mess up the message, so I got to pick up where you flubbed it.
I'm sorry, Bob, I didn't flub it. I had a problem here.
Well, Bob, Phil was trying to move a computer mouse around.
I heard you yesterday morning, Phil, with a computer mouse. You haven't gotten that figured out yet, huh?
Yeah, we got it figured out, Bob.
All right, well, so do I do it or do you do it?
Do you do what? You know, you're a news interview for me, not necessarily a commercial plug.
But I am a paying advertiser, am I not? And never mind.
Okay.
All right, well, don't make it sound like I'm forcing you to do it.
No, I'm happy to do it. If you have your Orange County Courier today, folks, clip out the coupon that says, Hi, I'm Bob Green.
Right, and I am standing in the ad. I'm wearing an apron and the big name tag that says, Hi, I'm Bob Green, and I'm waving. You have to cut me out perfectly. You'll see the dotted lines around the figure. Cut that out and glue that. Oh, man, I just got a whiff of someone's perfume. Glue that to a piece of cardboard and then stick that.
Are you all right?
Well, yeah, but let me talk to John. Johnny, is that perfume? I smell it. It smells very nice. I have an allergy filled with perfume. Which I understand is not really a problem there this morning, huh?
No, Bud was exercising what I would say is less than congenial restraint this morning, and it was very, very unlivable in here.
Well, I've got the same problem. We've got a perfume around here somewhere. In any event, Phil, what I want to say is this, and then we'll get into talking about Candy Crush Saga, which I am very unhappy with, and I do have a bone to pick with some people. Let's put it that way.
Are you talking about me?
But can we get to the coupon?
Yeah, let me just get this up. So go to your coupon section of the Orange County Courier today, and find the Fraser Foods coupon, and look for me. It'll say, "Hi, I'm Bob Green, and I'm wearing an apron, and I've got the big name tag, and I have a." If you wouldn't mind, ignore the broom. When they took the photograph, I was supposed to be holding one of those feather dusters that you see in the pockets of a lot of store managers, and instead they gave me a push broom, and they published that. I'm very upset about that, but nonetheless, clip around the... hold on for a minute, Phil. I'm getting a call.
Is this guy going to be done anytime soon? Because I'm losing my mind here.
Hey, Bob?
I'm sorry, General. Yeah?
Can we move on? Because we got to get to the story here about Candy Crush Saga.
I'm going to move on, Phil. I simply want to tell people that when you cut out the coupon, the Hi, I'm Bob Green coupon in the Orange County Courier, cut out the push broom. Chief?
Well, so, all right, and then what do they do with that?
You can throw the push broom away. I don't give a damn what you do with it.
No, the picture of you, okay?
Thank you.
Well, he just hung up on you. That's not a good sign.
Oh, every time I got this guy on the air, I'm hanging up. He's hanging up on me or I'm hanging up on him. What happened, Bud?
Yep, I'm double-checking now. Yep, he hung up on you.
Okay, so it wasn't a disconnect.
No, as far as we can tell right now, Mr. Henry, it was not a disconnect.
How do you know?
He went, oh, okay, thank you very much. And then we heard it go click, click, click. And that's generally what a guy's going to say when a guy's PO'd.
I don't even know why I asked you that question, because that answer makes no sense. All right. So what we're dealing with, folks, is that him?
Yeah.
Well, what are you laughing at?
I just think the whole thing's very comic after a while. It's ridiculous. Bob.
you understand why I hung up. You knew I was going to call back, but I hung up to make a point. And the point is, you don't... Well, I don't know what the point was, but I know you pissed me off.
All right, so we clip out the picture of Bob Green, and what would you like us to do with that?
And you glue it on a piece of cardboard, and you walk in with it on the end of a popsicle stick and wave it around and say, I'm here for my discount. What's so difficult about that?
There's nothing difficult about that now that I've gotten the entire story out.
Now, I want to be clear. You have people cutting out your picture.
But Phil wanted to move this along, Margaret. I'm not the guy that wants to move it along. I'm sure he's probably sitting there right now with a, you know, excuse me for saying this, ladies and gentlemen. I know there's a lot of my customers.
Phil's got a hard on.
For me.
No, I don't, and as I've said to Margaret, whispering it doesn't make it any better. I do not. We just, I wanted to move this along. Now Margaret has a question, though.
Yeah, so it's not my fault.
Well, if you're blaming this on me, Phil...
I don't care. Ask the question.
Why are we gluing your picture to a piece of cardboard and then affixing
A popsicle stick.
A popsicle stick.
It's a creative way of redeeming your coupon, that's all. Big deal. Okay, so don't do it. Just bring in the goddamn coupon. I don't give a fuck.
You know,
Well, Phil, you can't blame me. I kept my big bazoo shut through the whole thing.
Yeah, me too.
Well, what does that mean? Is it my fault?
No, it's nobody's fault. For some reason, I can't talk to certain people without them getting offended. He got offended every time we asked a question that sounded impatiently asked. He got offended every time I had him repeat something, so that means I wasn't listening to him. He got offended because of this, because of that, because of something. He got sidetracked over the push broom. What's that about, Robert?
Well, apparently when they took the publicity photo, Bob was standing with a push broom and makes him look like a janitor, and he said so, and they said that, you know, they had to get it in the newspaper.
Well, you know, he's the CEO of the company. I don't know. How the hell does a picture like that get in the newspaper without his approval?
I don't know. They put that in there.
He wanted to have the feather duster that you often see the grocery store managers have in the back pocket.
Yeah, what is that anyway? Why do they have those?
That's on account of they keep the dust off of the rutabelon or something like that.
What do you mean, rutabelon?
I mean the watermelon and the rutabaga.
Just those two?
That's my understanding, yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay, so just those two vegetables and fruits.
Well, watermelon's a fruit.
I see. But just those two, they keep the dust off of it.
But are you listening to yourself, you jackass? You're saying... Do you hear what you're saying?
I understand.
So maybe it's for all of the things in the store that they just dust things. That's what a manager does. The manager walks around, he says, oh, well... Good day, Mrs. Brown, and all of that good stuff. And the people are in the store, and he's got out his feather duster, and he, you know, dusts this off and dusts that off, right?
Whatever. You know, you're waving your hands around like you're going to break into some kind of a dance on a birdcage.
That's very good, bud.
Yeah, I'm pretty good, bud.
Yeah, real funny, bud.
Well, Phil, Bud got one in.
Yeah,
you're waving your arms around, Phil, like, ooh. You know, just man up, be a good butch boy, and explain what you're trying to say.
I'm saying that the managers... How is it that it's all on me now? You guys were asking me, why do they have... This is the guy that said watermelon and rutabaga.
Phil, one thought per breath, okay? If you take one good breath of air, try to get just one thought in that breath of air. When you take one breath of air, and you try to jam War and Peace into it, you're going to sound like the most... the weirdest cat... that ever came out of the muck and the mire and the primordial soup, I'll tell you that.
All right, here's my one thought per breath. Why are you giving me a hard time when it was Bud who said watermelon and rutabaga?
Because it's fun giving you a hard time, and Bud's a gloid, and you know that, I know that, we all know it. He knows it, you, all of you out there.
All right. Well, that's the final word there. This is Bob again, huh?
Yeah, Bob, call back one more time.
If he hangs up on me, I got to take a break. If he hangs up on me one more time, I will actively campaign to have his advertising canceled on this show. I won't give a sweet JC what he thinks about that. You tell him that. Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, Bob. Mr. Henry said...
We don't have to hear it right now. Do it during a break. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back here. We've got, We got a few more things to do, Jack, and then we'll be back.
Bill Hendry's show can be heard on TuneIn, live and mobile. And the Phil Hendry Show can be heard on Listen Live, live and mobile at philhendryshow.com. This is General Galen Shaw, United States Army, retired.
This portion of Phil Hendry Show brought to you by Fraser Food, where you can get your summer spectacular coupon worth 5% off everything in the store if you cut out the picture of Bob Green and glue it on to something.
This song is the most asinine turd that ever dropped from the rectum of the combined elements and forces that have conspired to inflict heavy metal on everyone and everything in the Christian world.
Okay, yeah. At Phil Hendry Show, editorial comment before I go any further. The guy they have on CNN with this mystery of Flight 370, this cat...
Yeah, what is his name?
Joe something. He's a blonde-haired guy with the glasses. This guy is beginning to really irritate me because everything with this ass... Excuse me. Everything with this man has been the following. Well, you know, it's going to be tough. It'll be very tough. I don't know if they'll ever find anything. With all of this weather, with all of this, this and that and something else, it's going to be very... Next day, well, we've swatted a whole bunch of things in the ocean. I think we've narrowed it down. It's going to be, I mean, it could be, this could be spread out over the next day. Yeah, we have narrowed it down. The satellite information we have, it's right off of Perth. Next day, well, this guy is not giving me any, some of these cats think that they're really on it, man, when they basically, you know, leave a big, wide area of unbelievability. If they make sure that they cover their asses, and they say to you, "Yeah, I don't know, you know, this could be really jacked over, man. We may not find it." Then they're covered. So if they do find it, they can say, "Oh, well, see, it looks like we got lucky." Bullshit. I think you, sir.
You haven't said a thing. You've backed yourself into a corner. Now there's no getting out of that.
Yeah, Mr. Eddie, I don't think
you know what I'm trying to say, General, don't you?
What's that?
He's got vanilla wafer crackers all over him, okay?
Yeah, get a napkin.
I was just eating another vanilla. What'd you say?
You know what I'm saying, right?
Sure, yeah.
All right, Robert Green back with us. Okay, we had a minor misunderstanding, but we're all good now. Bob, right?
As soon as you apologized and said to me that you were sorry for everything you've done, yes, I've agreed to come back on the air.
Yeah, exactly. Now, tell me about Candy Crush Saga.
Well, Candy Crush Saga, Phil, we live in a world that has been, since the beginning of time, a place where people do business honestly, and it's also a place where we have a fair number of marks, suckers, people that are targets of the flim-flam, people that are targets of the con of the game, people that don't see you coming, but you see them coming from 3, 4, 5, 6 blocks off. Candy Crush Saga thought that that was the game they were getting into. The people at King, excuse me for saying this, but I mean, they should be called King Shit because of the way that...
Bob, I don't like that language coming from a man who's the CEO of a grocery store where I may go with my son to get, you know, what do you call those frozen pops and different things?
Yeah, okay, I don't know, but you're right. Let me just say this. I don't know what she's talking about.
I don't like being called she either. I mean that the frozen sickles, the pop, the things that you freeze.
The things that you freeze. That could mean a lot of things. It could mean something I sell in my store. It could be something that a man uses to satisfy a woman, but when he looks at her, it freezes up. I'm sure you understand.
Hang up on him, please.
Margaret, I didn't mean that personally.
Hang up on him, please. How dare he?
I don't think that was personal, Margaret. I
don't care. The fact that he would even say something like that.
I mean, it was a very unusual thing to say.
It was very unusual. This guy, this Green, every time you have him on, he's hostile.
I'm calling back to find out if there's a hostility or not.
Now, who we got? I know Frank Gray is calling in. What's going on around here? Do I host this show anymore or not?
I had Bud reach out to Frank in a very friendly way, didn't say anything's wrong, but I had him reach out. Is that Frank now?
Yeah, Mr. Gray.
Is Frank? Yeah.
Frank Gray, hello.
Hey, Frank, it's Phil Hendry.
Hi, Frank. It's Margaret.
Yes, dear. What's going on?
Well, this man, Bob Green's been on the program, and when I said that I go into supermarkets to buy the frozen things that you lick, like the popsicles, you know, that Jason J. Delmonico likes?
Yes, I understand, yeah.
All right. Green said, well, I don't know what you're referring to. A frozen thing can be a popsicle, or it can be something that a man uses to satisfy a woman, but it freezes up when he looks at her. And I'm thinking, where does he come off, you know?
I know. Who? This was Green?
Bob Green, Fraser Foods.
Oh, I know her. In fact, I was opposite sides of her in a lawsuit. It was a consumer suit. Someone had sued the hell out of her for a sexual harassment, and I was representing the plaintiff. He was a woman that had gone into this. Do you know this case, Phil?
Well, there was a couple that we talked with Bob about.
Yeah, this was a case where a woman had gone into her store, and he was looking for corn. He was looking for something, but up comes this Green, and she says, can I show you where the corn is? Well, I think any lawyer worth her weight, such as myself, is going to say, well, what are you trying to pull here, Green? And she says, what's it to you? And I said to her, well, guess what? It's going to cost you some dollars. And we went ahead and just bent her right over and sat, you know, and took turns on her for many hours. I say that figuratively. We extracted a fair settlement in this deal.
That's nice, honey. I'm talking about right now.
Right now what?
The thing that he said to me. God damn it.
Okay, Frank, Bob Green was here. I don't even really think it was necessary for you to be called and brought into this, but as long as, you know, you're Margaret's husband...
I don't mind. He called, and I immediately responded.
Okay, so Bob Green was on the show, and Bob said something to Margaret that she took to be offensive, and to it, when she was talking about getting popsicles for Jason J. Delmonico, Bob said, well, a frozen thing could be something a man...
No. I heard what she said. She said that a frozen thing could be a man has between her legs to satisfy him, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. What is materially not factual about that statement? See, that's the thing you do when you're a lawyer.
Frank, we are not arguing the atmospherics and the philosophies of a case. I'm talking about me, your wife, who was talked to that way by this guy, Green. Bob Green. Green!
Holy Jesus, can you believe I married him? Listen to him. Honey, I know what you're saying.
I want you to take me seriously, all right? I don't care about the arguing the law book right now.
All right, fine. So what did she say?
How many times do I have to tell you? You know something, Frank, I love you, but you're a batty old freak. You don't know the gender of people.
What in the... You know...
Hang up on him.
No, I'm not hanging up on him. You had me hanging up on Green. You got me hanging up on your own husband. I'm not doing it.
Never mind. I'll save him the trouble.
See what happens, Phil, when you don't do the things that I ask you to do?
That's not Mr. Henry's fault. Yeah,
you butt out. Do you see, Phil?
No, I don't see, Margaret. No, I don't see at all. I hung up on Green because you didn't like him. Now you want me hanging up on your own husband. Bob says something. You know he's a crude slob. But he's been talking that way ever since we've had him on the show. What is your problem? Why are you all up in arms?
Yeah, no kidding, Margaret.
Well, yesterday was your turn, so today it's mine.
Oh, is that it? Are we rotating rags here? There, here she goes.
Yes, thank you.
You know she's going to walk out.
Yeah.
So you did that on purpose?
No, the thought came to me, and I decided I'll go ahead and run with it, even though I knew as soon as I said it, you'd walk out of the studio.
I'm getting a white owl.
God, those freaking white owls. I don't know what smells worse, bud. You're...
This lisp.
Yeah, I know I lisp.
Yeah, but somebody said, I don't know what smells worse.
Did I really? Thank you. Maybe you guys should record those and collect them all, and then I can listen to them, and I can do some serious show prep when I get home and go, God, how do I get rid of the lisp? Oh, thank God these guys recorded this.
Now, you don't have to be sarcasm. We know when we're licked.
What does that mean, you know when you're licked?
When you're beat?
Oh, yeah.
man, I'm pooped. I'm pooped because I can't see straight.
Sound like you're gonna cry.
I'm not crying. Margaret, do you mind if I interview Bob without you in the studio?
I want to come in and monitor, but I'll keep my mouth shut. Is that fine? I'm talking to Frank right now. Everything's okay. Honey, listen,
Close the door. I don't want to overhear what she's saying, okay?
All right.
Yes, you know, I'll play leapfrog without my panties. And
you close the door, bud. I don't want to hear that.
Sorry.
Okay, Robert Greene, do you have him back?
No.
Well, call him back, man.
Yeah, Mr. Greene? Mr. Greene? Okay, Mrs. Greene. He hung up.
Why did he hang up?
Because I said, Mr. Greene, and he said, who? And I said, okay, Mrs. Greene.
But let me call him. You got...
Don't you know how sensitive the guy is?
But are you trying to make a bad situation? Look at I'm lisping.
You think it's catching?
Yes, it is catching. You'll probably start lisping pretty soon. Let me talk to him. Hey, Bob, it's Phil Henry. Bud screwed up there. Yeah. No, man. There's nothing. So I got no problem with you, man. I want to find out about this Candy Crush thing. I'm going a half hour now. Huh? Okay. Can I put you on right now? Can I put you on the air right now? Right now. On the air. My show. Huh? What? I can't hear you. Well, don't screw around, okay? Please. Bob Green is with us.
I thought that was funny. You didn't like that?
No, I didn't like that.
What happened?
He started to make it sound like he drove his car into the ocean or something.
I told you it was funny.
No, I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing at just the whole morning.
But what happened just then?
I was asking him, and he's going like that.
Yeah, I was saying, hey, help, Phil. And I made it sound like I was drowning, and Henry's all taking it serious.
I don't know what's going on in this show, if you don't mind. Okay, can we continue?
Sure, Phil. I mean, look, Candy Crush Saga, I played the game. You have too. A lot of people we know have played this game. Now, all of a sudden, they come out with this initial public offering at $22. I lapped up about, 5,000 shares. And I got raped, and I think you said so as much on your pre-show, that they should rename that company the Anal Rape Company. I didn't say that. You said that, right?
Well, I did say it on the pre-show.
Well, I think it's a very apt name for that company because I was raped. You know, Phil, I got to tell you, I don't mind investing in stocks. I don't do a lot of it. I try to be a little bit safer with my investments. I buy gold. I like to buy real estate. As volatile as real estate has been, it's still a way better buy than stocks. But I went ahead and I took a leap of faith on this candy cane, whatever you call it. I know there's a lot of people that hate that game. They despise it with every fiber of their being. I know you do. I know Margaret does. I know a lot of people who do. But I believe in the American dream and I believe in the American system. So I went ahead and I bought about 5,000 shares of this game. I wake up this morning and the first thing that I see is that Candy Crush Saga is a turd in a punch bowl. I mean, it opened and it went through the floor and it took every Christian soul with it. And I'm asking myself, was I really all that bad in my early years as a young man in college and in high school when I was probably the more insensitive, I should say, when it came to the feelings of women? Was I that bad? Was I so bad when I was a young, insensitive, and boorish pig of a young man that now I'm getting it taken out of my hide? But today.
All right, so you took a bath.
Yeah, I took a bath. And you know something? I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to sell whatever I can of that garbage. And when I get out of that garbage, because that's what I'm going to call it now, I'm calling it garbage. I'm not calling it Candy Crush Saga. I'm not calling it King Digital Entertainment, your mother, your sister, your uncle, your brother. I'm calling it garbage. And I'm calling it... See, I think this is unfair. They just showed a woman with a big ass on TV and...
and what? And what?
If I hang up, are you going to...
Yeah, if you hang up, I'm not having you back on.
All right. What do you want?
So, finish your thoughts on Candy Crush Saga.
Well, I, wanted to finish my... They showed a woman with a big ass on TV, and you know I have a weakness for that.
Okay, fine. We got that out of the way. I went in on this. Do you have to mention that?
Oh, look who's back, Her Royal Highness, huh? Did I say something that got your interest?
Do you have to mention a woman's rear end?
I did because I saw it on TV. I thought I was talking to a bunch of gentlemen here. I didn't know that you were in the room, Margaret.
You know that there are women listening to the program.
Well, I guess they're tougher than you because I...
Yeah, go ahead. I haven't walked out of the room. They're tougher than me. Then what?
So, Phil, I'll say one thing, Margaret. You were one of the people early on that said Candy Crush Saga was straight from the devil's own ass, is the way you put it. You said that Candy Crush Saga was something that the devil himself fertilized a female demon with.
Did he say what I just thought he said?
Okay, Bob, can we...
Did he say what I just thought he said?
Yeah, and you said it, too.
All right, okay, can we keep this friendly, if at all possible?
Go ahead.
What?
Go ahead.
Oh, no, look, Margaret, if there's one thing I've got familiarity... If there's one thing I've got familiarity with...
See, look at how nervous he is. I'm an angry woman really scares you, doesn't she?
All right, so do you got any more questions? Because I really have to go.
Well, Bob...
I gotta go. It's coming out of my mouth.
See, an angry woman scares hell out of that midget.
You know, I had him on the show today for a very specific reason, and I have no idea if we got to it.
Yeah, you kind of did, Mr. Henry.
Oh, we kind of did. We kind of did. Well, that makes me feel better. We kind of got to it. That's great. We kind of got to it. Because...
Phil, look, we've got a saying in the military, Phil. When it comes to a military operation, you know you're doing a great job if you get 50% of the job done. There's no way in a military operation everything goes according to plan. Things are foobar from the minute you step off the boat until the minute you're sitting there under the sand shingle and you're waiting to take that kraut crew out. And you don't, all you've got is one RPG, and...
All right, I understand, General. I understand. But, I mean, of all the things in this world, don't comment on how I stutter, okay?
Well, just went, yeah.
It was extreme, Phil. I'm just in Robert's defense. It wasn't just you going, do. You went, yeah, like that. And we thought, you know...
You thought what?
We thought there was a physical or a health issue.
Because I did what? I didn't go, yeah.
Well, yeah, you did, Mr. Henry. You go, another thing, yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say you did that.
All right, so let's say I did. I'm fine. I'm not. So what's the point?
My point is this. When you are doing the do and the funky chicken too... Wait a minute, you were making the point.
Yeah, that's right, I was. I was saying that of all the things in this world that should be subject to control, and I would say consistent control, one would think it is the radio interview. All right, we'll be right back. We're a little late for our break. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And don't forget, you can listen to us live and mobile on TuneIn. Live and mobile, what does that mean? We're live, we're mobile on your mobile phone. And you can put your mobile phone in the car and use the Bluetooth. And the next thing you know, there we are in all of our glory and the surround sound of your vehicle. And also live on our Listen Live line. If you go to philhenryshow.com, listen live and mobile there as well. Be right back.
The Phil Henry Show is brought to you by Turnigan's, 5 convenient locations, dog grooming, cat grooming, and they'll even cut your hair. Turnigan's is a whole new concept in the family grooming ethic. Get your dog's hair cut, your cat groomed, and they'll Brill Cream it too. Turnigan's features 5 different brands of cat Brill Cream. Let me tell you something, my friend, you are nothing. Long-haired freak.
No, this young man has short hair.
Oh, I don't give a hot, raging, well-formed evacuation.
Oh, the stool!
What was that?
Bud was quoting the madness of King George, the one doctor who
Oh, that film is charming with Nigel Patrick, I think, is the actor. I don't know the name of the actor, and it really doesn't matter.
It matters. It matters a great deal who the actor was. We'll find it. The Madness of King George.
Yeah, and in the movie, the doctor... Well, you tell it, bud. You tell it gooder than me. Not gooder. You tell it better than me.
Yeah, there's a doctor... And they want to find out what's wrong with a King George.
I'll do it.
No, let Bud do it.
He's got to carve it up, Phil. Listen to him sputtering around like he's standing on a corner selling hot chestnuts.
Anyway,
you didn't think that was funny?
It was moderate. Yeah, it was funny. Go ahead.
Well...
Go ahead, Bud.
So, yeah, the Madness of King George. So this one doctor thinks that the way they can cure King George is to look at when he takes a dump.
Yeah, man, I'm looking at it like a... He says, what's a stool look like?
Yeah, that's what they call it, the stool.
Oh, God.
You didn't see the film?
Yeah, I saw it. It's a great movie. You're right. It is a great movie. Apparently, King George, the King of England during the American Revolution...
They thought he was nuts. They thought he was cuckoo, huh?
Well, he was cuckoo, but he had a disease that was not about... mental illness so much as it was a mental illness disease brought on by a physical malady. I don't know whether it was a virus or what it was, but it causes, get a load of this, blue urine.
Yes, they thought, now they know, they didn't know then, but they did note the discoloration, as they put it in those days, of the urine.
Yeah, so that one guy about the evacuation of the stool, probably not too far off.
Well, I mean... not too far off, but he was closer than any of these other doctors. The other doctors they brought in to cure King George were all dealing with behavior. His behavior was going goofy. He was acting out. He was running around. He was chasing people. He was babbling. And the poor man was, you know, definitely having a problem. And everybody they brought in to treat him was treating him from the behavior perspective, you know, controlling that one guy. Remember him?
Oh, that one doctor. They tied him to the chair.
Yeah, they tied the poor man to the chair And I think they even punished him with if he didn't do what he was told, he would not be able to speak. They actually had a brace or some kind of a strap on his mouth. So the doctor they brought in that you're talking about, Bud, who was analyzing his bowel movements, the King George, was actually closer to the problem than any of them, because modern day doctors have looked back on the symptoms and the notes that were taken by those doctors, and they concluded that it was some malady that affects the neurology of the patient, and their thinking causes this brief period of dementia, because what happens is it comes and it goes, and it did throughout his life. And in the film, you see him going from this raving lunatic to a very sober and sane and diligent guy.
You know, instead of King George with all that, he wasn't all that bad, right?
What do you mean he wasn't all that bad?
Well, King George was a piece of you know what. King George was you'd wipe with him, you know, is what the thing is.
What? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about King George.
You're talking about the one in the colonial time?
Yes, the king that crap blue or whatever you're saying.
He didn't crap blue. The King of England during the colonial period.
Talk about how he shit blue.
He didn't shit blue, he peed blue. Here's the thing, that king was I don't know whether he was a good guy or not, I think he was a pain in the ass to Parliament and all that, but he was a successful king. He was, his reign, the American Revolution, as it's been described, was a part of a world war that was being fought by England. England was in a fight all over the world. They were fighting the French, they were fighting all kinds of interests that were looking to destabilize their empire, good or bad, that was the name of the game in the 18th century was the British Empire. They kicked ass and took names. Anybody want to take us on? We're taking on all comers. And they did. They kicked ass from India all the way to the English Channel and back. The only place where they lost was on the continent of North America. They lost their battle with the colonials.
Well, it said they were probably stretched too thin.
Yeah, well, right there. We got that right there. You see, they had the discretion being the better part of valor. They said, well, you know what? You can take this bunch of rummies over here, the American colonies. You can park them up any ass you choose. Hold on, I'm not done yet.
Yeah, but
hold on, I'm not done yet. The king of the Catholic, what's the guy?
King George.
Yeah, King George.
Phil, don't yell at the general.
It's all right. Phil, he needs, he's acting out today.
Whoa, hold on. I'm not acting out at all. You guys have been the ones that have been acting like nuts.
I'm talking about the guy that shit blue. Isn't this the guy we're talking about?
He didn't shit blue, man. He peed blue. Okay?
What an asshole, man. Boy, that's too bad.
Yeah, let's go get a cottage cheese.
Yeah.
Well, Phil, you bring these things on yourself.
I didn't do a thing, man. I'm trying to keep this show moving in the right direction. Anyway, as I was saying...
Yeah, I'm talking about King George. And I know he didn't shit blue.
He didn't shit blue. He peed blue for the 9 millionth time.
I got it already.
I'm on the air here, General, if you don't mind. I'm not doing the show for the kitchen. I'm doing it for everybody, you know, here.
That's right.
I'm here in the studio talking on the air. I'm not talking to you in the kitchen there, having your cottage cheese and your Nilla wafers.
Whatever.
So the King of England, King George, yeah, he kicked ass. And the only place where the British Empire lost that world war, as they say, was in the North American continent, losing to the colonials. But it was not a popular war, just like, you know, many wars here in the United States have in recent times not been by. It was not a popular war among the British people. It was seen as a waste of valuable resources. It was costing a shitpot load of money. And they just didn't need it. They had other fish to fry, as they say. They had other... other games to play. The British Empire stayed big, powerful, and badass for the next 150 years or thereabouts.
Through the Second World War.
Yeah. Through the Second World War, the British Empire was the name of the game. And, you know, World War II is a great example of that. At any time anybody wants to talk to me about the British and this, that, and something, to me, those are the greatest people. You know, they made all the mistakes we make as a country. They made. They were colonial. They were manipulative. They exploited people. But they also found their way to a great society, a decency, a democracy. You know, they evolved the way great people evolve. And at the beginning of World War II, man, when everybody else had their thumbs shoved up their ass and sucking on it after they had it up their ass, and...
Oh, God.
Well, that was pretty much the world, and while everybody else was sitting around hoping the bad man would go away, there was Britain in there pitching, man. They were all by themselves. They were in pitching. They were in that fight by themselves. You know?
Yeah, well, I'm back. I want in on this.
You guys hurry. You know, I love how you guys hurry back from the kitchen because you want in on something. Margaret, you're in the bathroom. You're getting your vanilla wafers.
Well, Phil, you finally say something interesting. We want back in on it.
Yeah. And listen, I want to say one thing. The British Empire at the beginning of WW2, as you said, Phil, was a big, badass juggernaut. And when you say, well, they were in the fight by themselves, well, sure they were, but they were drawing troops from India, drawing troops in from the colonial troops... They did one holy hell of a job in the whole, you know, like that.
How's your cottage cheese?
Delicious.
Hey, by the way, that movie Two Women, you know, that was another flick I was telling you guys about. Man, that movie is one of the greatest movies I've ever seen. That's the greatest acting. Sophia Loren, who everybody knows now, this generation, people probably know her from Grumpy Old Men, you know. But Sophia Loren, when she broke into films, was in a movie called Two Women. She plays a mother who is trying to get her daughter out of Rome, herself and her daughter out of Rome, and they try to travel north to find some relatives of theirs who live north of the city. They're on foot. It's the closing days of World War II. There are bombing runs by the Allies. There's the Germans to deal with. There's the fascist Italians to deal with. It's dangerous. At one point, they stop to talk to an elderly man who directs them to the town they're going to. And not a few seconds later, they see this man get strafed from the air by a fighter and the man's machine gun and killed. And as any mother would, as they walk toward him, she takes her daughter, puts her hands over her daughter's eyes, and they walk. They do this big sort of U-turn, not a U-turn, but this big loop around the guy's body. It's just the... And anyway, in this movie, something is reenacted that you talk about colonial troops. There were colonial troops of the French, not just the British. The French had colonial troops fighting in World War II. And the colonial troops of the French committed war crimes in Italy.
These were not Nazis. They were on our side?
They were on our side. And they were North African colonials fighting for the free French. And they committed horrible atrocities against the Italian women and girls. And it's reenacted to a point in this film to women. It's brutal. But
thanks for uplifting the mood, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, no kidding.
Shut up. This is a serious topic. Okay?
Yeah, don't screw around with this, bud.
I mean, I didn't mean to bring everybody down.
Well, you did. Oh, I see. You brought up the subject of rape to uplift everybody.
I was talking about... You guys were talking about the colonial troops. You know, in other words, what I was trying to say was that the colonial troops in the Second World War were...
Phil Henry, show me right back.
Don't tell me when to... What are you doing?
Thank you, Phil. I'm Margaret Gray. I'm Margaret Gray. Yay, yay, yay.
The Phil Henry Show will be right back. Phil's got to pull his shit together. Yeah, you heard me right. That's right. We'll be right back.
The Phil Henry Show, brought to you by Murdigan's Dry Cleaning. Two locations in the Channel Islands. Murdigan's Dry Cleaning. You have a sweater or a hat or some shoes, doesn't matter. They'll dry. They even dry cleaned one time. They dry cleaned. They didn't dry clean my dog, but they almost did. But then they said, wait, this is a dog.
Live from the El Pacifico, Phil Henry Show.
Well, this is great, man. We haven't gotten one GD thing done in this show. Not that I can figure. All right, so Candy Crush, my general read on that, just to wrap up the abortion that the last hour was,
Well, don't say abortion. There are a great many women that are thinking of having one today, and I don't want to...
Oh, my God, Margaret.
I thought you were pro-choice.
I am, but I...
Don't start referring to abortions... There are a lot of women out there that want the right to choose, and I don't want to see anything happen to that.
Margaret, no one's trying to butcher up a woman's right to choose. Phil was... God.
Margaret, I do support a woman's right to choose. When you single out using the word abortion as some kind of an undercutting of that, you make me look like 300 yards of jackass, and who needs that in the world today? All right, Dave Oliva is with us. We love to talk to Dave every now and again. Dave is on to talk about matters having to do with law enforcement, and David is a student of criminal justice in L.A. Canyon College up in northern L.A. County. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Henry. How are you doing?
Good. Dave, Secret Service agents have been sent home from the Netherlands on President Obama's detail. They were sent home after a night of drinking. And we wanted to talk to you about this, being an aspiring police officer, one who, I know that your interest is in the LAPD, but I think this has to do with, I think law enforcement, whether you're Secret Service or not, you all share a similar duty, and that is to, as the sign says there on the sides of the cars, to protect and to serve, correct?
There's no doubt about it, Mr. Henry. And these three Secret Service agents, and I want to say one thing that I do like to say when I am the guest on you, guest on your show, I mean, is to say that I do want to be LAPD because I do believe LAPD is the best one that there is.
Why do you say that, Dave?
Well, I probably should just keep talking about Secret Service and not. Am I going to get sidetracked?
No, go ahead.
Yeah, why do you say you didn't have to ask Phil's permission? I'm General Shaw.
Well, yes, sir. I understand that, but Phil brought me on to talk about Secret Service.
Well, Phil just gave you permission, so for the third time, why do you...
Do we have to argue here? Can't we just ask questions in a polite way?
Yeah, no kidding, man. I mean, all argument and stuff.
I'm simply asking the guy...
Well, just let him... So why do you say the LAPD is the best police force, Dave?
Well, as long as the old man was going to have a cow...
Hey, listen to me. I'm not going to have a cow. Wait.
Let's start all over again. Dave, this is Phil. How are you?
Oh, yeah, I'm doing good, Mr. Henry.
Oh, great. General Shaw is here. Say hello, General.
Yeah, whatever.
And Margaret?
Hi, Dave.
And Bud?
Hey!
And Robert.
Yeah, I do, Rob. I mean, I'm Robert.
Yeah, you're Robert. I'm Dave. I'm doing good. And so how are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, for God's sake, are you listening to you, Jacket?
All right. So tell me about the LAPD. Why do you want to be LAPD?
Well, I thought you brought me on to...
Why do you want to be LAPD? And I'll talk about the Secret Service in a minute.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I want to be LAPD because I think that's the best police department probably that has ever been, ever, you know? I mean, ever, you know, I think they're the best police department it's ever been, but also ever been.
Well, what does that mean? In case we thought you were kidding the first time?
Yes, sir. I mean, there's a lot of people just say, well, I think they're the best police department that's ever been. They go, well, whatever. But you say, no, really, no, that's ever been.
And that reinforces that you're not lying.
Yes. So, just wanted you...
All right, well, I now know that you're not lying, and... Jesus...
You're kidding, right?
No. All right. So, Dave, now that we've got that out of the way, tell us all about the Secret Service and what happened.
Well, they were formed. I mean, they existed before William McKinley.
The Secret Service getting sent home.
I'm sorry, Mr. Terry. Yeah, three Secret Service agents responsible for protecting President Obama in Amsterdam or...
That's called Amsterdam.
Okay, yeah, in Amsterdam. This week, we're sent home and put on administrative leave on Sunday after going out for a night of drinking, according to three people familiar with the incident. One of the agents was found drunk and passed out in a hotel hallway. Oh, man, that's rude.
Now, wait, hold on. So what was he on duty?
We don't know. I mean, just read on, Dave.
The hotel staff alerted the U.S. Embassy in the Netherlands after finding an unconscious agent Sunday morning, a day before Obama arrived in the country, according to two other people. The embassy then alerted Secret Service managers on the president's trip, which included the agency director, Julia Pearson. Secret Service spokesman Ed Donovan confirmed Tuesday evening that the agency did send three employees home for a disciplinary reason, that they were put on administrative leave on investigation. Donovan declined to comment.
So what we got here is some guy got hammered and he's passed out in a hallway and the hotel called the U.S. Embassy.
That is embarrassing. That's absolutely embarrassing for a member of the presidential detail.
Well, let me just say this. I think that there's a lot of reasons why this could happen. First of all, I don't think people understand what a high-pressure job it is. I'm not saying that that's okay. I'm not saying that that's okay at all, you know. It's not okay to drink and to be passed it out, you know.
Yeah, but you're protecting a president of a country.
I understand that, you know. But the job is very, very, you know, pressure-packed. And I'm sure there are times that you want to have a drink, you know. I can tell you just from my own personal experience, Mr. Henry. I mean, I'm not a police officer, and I've never been on no Secret Service. But I have done some bouncing, and I did some bodyguard work. For one group that I did, it was a music group that was playing over here in Long Beach in Belmar Shores at a place called the Tulip. And it's a group that I was doing security for.
What was the name of the band?
I don't want to say it because I don't want them to come back on me and to say, you know, you embarrassed us and everything.
I understand it. That some of this stuff has got to be, you know, on the down queue, you know.
You mean on the down low?
On the down low, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's on the down, on the low down.
No, on the down low, it's what...
In any event, so you were doing bodyguard work.
Yeah, I was doing security work for this group. And they had a lead singer who was a female. She was very hot, and she was very tasty. And a lot of the guys at the club, you know, wanted to get with her and everything. And I would be like, no, you know, no, you can't, 1,000 times no. You know, I felt like I was in that Shakespeare play, you know, where the guy goes, no, you know, 1,000 times no, you know?
I'm not familiar with it.
Well, Missouri, you know the one.
Yeah, it's fine, I understand.
Okay, so...
What was the name of it?
Never mind, bud. So go ahead.
So these dudes want to get with this lead singer because she's so hot. Then the other thing was the lead guitar player, which was... A man, not a woman, because it was mostly men, but they had the one woman, right? Okay, Mr. Henry?
Yeah.
And he was very handsome, and a lot of the women want to get with him. So it would be like, you know, after the show, I would be like at the stage door, you know, and I'm all like, no, you can't, no, 1,000 times, no. And then here comes the women that they want to be with the lead guitar player, and I'm like, no, 1,000 times, no, there too, you know.
So for both of them, no, 1,000 times, no. So we understand that was the job.
Yeah, that was the job, and it's very pressure-packed because you have these women that want to have sex with this dude, you know, and I've got a sister, you know, so I'm like, what's that about? And so I felt very, you know, bad about it, and eventually I did, you know, unfortunately I did drink some Bacardi. That was apple flavored Bacardi, which I should not have done because it made me vomit, and I did so in a very unfortunate way on some of the patrons, you know, as I was standing there trying to deal with the pressure of it.
So you got sick after getting drunk doing bodyguard duty, right?
Wait a minute, and this is the being the bodyguard for this rock and roll band? Is that it?
Well, yes, sir, General. But I mean, look, I know it's not the President of the United States, but I'm still responsible for the lives of these four. Oh, wait a minute, there was five. Well, they threw out. They had two drummers at one time, so I think it was six.
Two drummers? Well, that's nuts. Who's ever heard about that?
A lot of bands have had two drummers, you know.
Well, name one.
Allman Brothers.
Name two.
I can't name another one, but the Allman Brothers had two drummers. So go ahead, Dave.
Okay, okay. I'm glad you said that because I was kind of freaked out about that. But yeah, they had two drummers. Well, I mean, they had two drummers, but sometimes I threw a plate of conga drum, so there would be a guy on the drums. It'd be another guy just on, you know, hey, man, he'd be like on a conga, you know. And he had to wear them sleeves, you know, like Ricky Ricardo. And
okay, that's fine. Yeah, they had two drummers, so Dave, you were then, you know, so you were, your job was to protect the lives of these band members, and so therefore, what happened? Therefore, you drank a lot. Was that it?
Well, yeah. I mean, the pressure was very, very strict, and it was bad. You know, it's real bad. You know, I mean, it sucked big time, you know. And so I, you know, started to drink, and the one thing that I did start to drink was the Bacardi rum, which, of course, was the apple flavor one. Have you not never had any of that?
Yeah, man, I love the Bacardi apple flavor, but one Bacardi, man, is a lemon flavored.
Oh, those flavored rums, they make me want to spew through my ears, my nose. As a matter of fact, Frank and I had a very unfortunate incident at a resort in Mexico. I had had several drinks. Well, I was talking to an elderly woman, and suddenly I was so drunk, I decided, discretion being the better part of valor, I think I have to vomit on this woman.
Margaret, I don't want to hear this story, okay? Please, do I have to hear this? You vomited all over an old lady?
Did I say she was... Well, yes, she was old, but did I say that?
Well, yeah, you did.
All right. But it was that Bacardi. It was, oh, God. It was horrific.
Yeah, so, you know, it was. And so I'm saying no to all of these people. Well, I finally just went, yep, that's got it. And I went, yeah, bleh, I puked. And I'm sorry to have to be graphic, but I wanted to give you the distinct way that you puke when you have drunk too much of the Bacardi.
Yeah, Bacardi rum's bad.
All right, now that we've given a real bad name to Bacardi, because I'm sure there are many people that have drunk Bacardi and have been fine, I'm one of them.
You told me you didn't drink anything other than tequila.
I don't drink anything other than tequila now, but I've had my days with rum. I've had it all, man. I never vomited on rum, but I can tell you, vodka...
All right, are we going to go down memory lane here on how many times you people have yacked all over another innocent human being? Or are we going to get to the point here?
I'm not talking...
All right, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's really it. So I can understand if a Secret Service agent is so frightened. Think about it, man. You know?
Yeah, but that's no excuse to be pass out drunk.
Yeah, but think about it, man. Just hold on for a Mexican second. Okay?
Is that a fast one or a short one?
What? A Mexican second? I don't know. But just hold on, okay?
Is that like a long one?
No, it's like a short one. If I say to hold on, it means you're...
Will you just get on with it, Dave? A Mexican second?
Just... So, anyway, I feel for a Secret Service agent. I would be very, very under pressure and very, very you know, I'd feel very, very bad if I knew that the life of the think about it, man, the life of the President of the United States is in your hands, man.
Get all the reason more where you're not going to be drinking.
Well, okay, if you think you're better than everybody else.
Yeah, when it comes to being on a President of the Secret Service.
You're not the President of the Secret Service, man, okay?
I didn't say that. I said if the President is being protected by the Secret Service, I'm not going to drink.
Well, you know, man, you think you're so special. Yep.
Look, Dave, I think that that's a pretty easy call. There may be some people that the pressure's too much for, and they drink. And I would say that those people have got a drinking... First of all, they do not belong in the Secret Service. Second of all, you got a drinking problem, friend. If you know the President's coming in the next day, and you got to have your act and your shit and your whole thing together, and you got to make sure that you meet the Prez, and everything's got to be good. Don't give me this bullshit about how, well, it's understandable I had a drink. You keep your ass sober until the job is over with, then go off and get plowed.
Well, I mean, I think you're being very judgmental, Mr. Henry. To know what it is to protect the life of a president, you don't know what that is, you know?
Well, you don't either.
Well, what do you mean?
You said you protected a band?
Well, yeah, I mean, no, you're right. I didn't protect no president, but, I mean, they're going, you, yeah. And I'm going, no. We want to have sex with the lead singer. Well, her name was Bonnie, okay? We want to have sex with Bonnie, you know? No, 1,000 times no, you know, and I finally like, you know, forget it, man. I went, I got a drink to go and get a drink, you know, and I had several, yes, and I did spew, but I was not, I'll tell you one thing, I did not ever leave my post.
Well, you didn't leave your post, you jive turkey, but you vomed, as we call it in the military, the technical term is vomed, all over innocent civilians. And for that, you would be Section 8 and court-martialed. Do you understand?
Look.
Do you understand?
Yes, sir, I do.
I'm General Galen Shaw. That'll be all.
Well, General,
don't you have to break?
Oh, actually, we do. Hold on, Dave.
Well, I thought it was only going to be one segment, because I'm, like, embarrassed now.
All right, you can go if you want.
Yeah, because...
Yeah, look at that. We really are. We called his ass out, didn't we?
Oh, big deal. Poor Dave. He's a hard-working student.
What do you mean, poor Dave? He's a guy that's gonna vomit, just like a general say.
Yes, the general did say that he vomited.
Oh, what is this vomit anyway, General? Is that... That's a technical term.
That is the technical term for when you puke on duty. And I've seen a lot of guys on duty, and they're standing guard at the post, and they're puking and vomiting until the cows come home. Or in the case of, if you will, Bud, until one cow comes home and then signals for the other cows to come home. And that is, as you know, that's a level 2.
Now, we're going to take a break here. No, I don't know that.
Well, you better get your act together, my friend.
Phil Henry's show here on this Wednesday. So the Secret Service agent, can you believe that, though? This guy is passed out raging drunk in the hallway of the hotel there where the president is due to arrive any second now, and the cat's just all brig. Phil Henry Show will be right back. Our closing segment, no Bobby Dooley podcast today. My understanding is she's now going to be rotating with, if you'll pardon the term, rotate.
I don't know. I don't like the term rotate. Rotate, mouthful, and blow by blow. All of those are very offensive.
We'll be right back on a world famous Phil Henry Show.
What the fuck is this? This sounds... Jesus Christ, you know that this demonology flips me out. We'll never be what you want me to be.
Don't give a fuck what you think. All right. Yeah. What's the name of that band? Emure? Yeah, Emure, with a song called Nemesis. All right. What a show, man. Some of these shows that we have, we are at each other's throats. Some of these shows we have, we're doing fine. I don't get it.
Well, yeah, this program, everybody's been contentious since the opening bell, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably hump day, you know.
That's...
Look, Margaret, I am not going to eliminate from the lexicon of this radio show. Yes, I know, that's a big word.
Well, don't look at me when you say that. I know what it means.
I know what it means, too, but I'd rather you not use that word.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So let me get this straight. I can't use lexicon because you and Bud don't dig it because maybe it's too big for you to understand. Margaret, you don't want me using the terms rotate, blow by blow, mouthful, and wasn't there one other one?
Yes, but I forget what it was, but I'll think of it.
Well, I'm here to tell all of you that I will be using those words, and I don't want you to take up too much of the show's time protesting the use of those words. Thank you.
Yay! I do, Miss Ram. That's the way to say it.
So am I to understand I will be hearing mouthful, blow by blow?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, you will.
Oh, look at you. So you think you're real smart-ass saying that, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to be censored. Blow by blow and mouthful and then rotate. What is... I don't even know what does rotate mean?
Well, rotate, Phil, comes from... Well, go ahead, Margaret.
Thank you. Rotate... For those of us who were unfortunately drawn into the life at a very early age, sometimes in some of the boudoir, there would be a hanging chair. And the young woman, in that case, me, I'm not saying I'm proud of this young lady's out there listening, but there was a time in my life when I needed money. And God help me, I did the things that I needed to do. As a matter of fact, Bud, get up tape for...
Wait, Margaret.
Now, hold on. Bud, are you listening to me?
Yes, ma'am.
Get tape 4, and I want sector 3. Tape 4, sector 3, it starts in the key of B, and it goes to B sharp. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, ma'am. I gotta go find it.
What the hell is wrong with him?
Well, what are you asking him for?
I'll say it again. I want tape B, sector 4. It starts in the key of G.
Yes, ma'am.
Is this a song?
Well, yes, it was going to be a song, but you keep bugging me, Phil. This is a song that tells the story that I think every young woman must tell. And when I was sitting in a hanging chair, and there was some filthy slob laying there on the bed underneath me, I knew it was rotate time.
There is a house,
oh my God,
in New Orleans.
And they call it the rising sun. And it's been the ruin of every young boy.
It got
dee dee doo doo. Woo!
Margaret, it says the ruin of every young boy.
Yes, I was the ruin of every young boy, as were many young ladies like myself. My mother used to sew my old blue jeans. So, Phil, when we think of the young men and women that are forced into degenerate acts, let's remember a young girl, 17, 18 years of age, sitting in a rattan chair, nude from the waist down. I'm Margaret Gray.
Hey.
What a... That doesn't work, does it?
No, it doesn't work. No, turn it off.
Turn the garbage, Bud. Turn this caterwauling. Turn this bitch made. Thank God.
Boy, you go from loving a song to hating it pretty fast.
Well, when I... The whole thing about... I don't know.
Margaret, are you telling me that the house of the song there by the Aminal...
Talk about the animals.
The song by the animal.
The animals.
What?
The animals.
That's exactly what I said. The song by the animal.
His voice again.
Yeah, get a cottage cheese.
I just heard Phil say that cottage cheese creates too much phlegm.
You're right. That's what's giving him the squeaky voice. No more cottage cheese for the general.
But I like it.
Oh, he's gonna...
It's ready. Man, Johnny's starting to cry like a bitch.
Hey, have a care, my friend.
All right, General, so what's the story?
What's the story? Don't look at me like... You're looking at me like I just fell out of the... Like I just fell off a flatbed, and I've got two holes in my shoes, and you want to chase my bum?
You want to chase my bum, don't you? You know, you can take that, too. If you want to chase his bum, or you can chase my bum... Or you can chase the bum, you see.
Is that the general bum? Like the big communal butt?
No, she's talking about a hobo, right?
Yes.
Well, that's what Philly was staring at me like I was a hobo off a flatbed. No, thank you.
I mean, I just wanted to know what was the intent of you calling it the animal.
All right, you corrected me. It's the animal, the animals. But the song, The House of the Rising Sun, has special meaning, I think, for any human being, Margaret. Because we, well...
Oh, well, don't tell me that you were forced into a life of...
I would rather not say.
Oh, no, General, did you have to sell your butt on a sidewalk?
I won't say, but there was a time when I was a lonely young youth right out here on Yucca and Hollywood Boulevard, and I was tempted to sell my ass for a night's sleep and a warm meal. Oh, look at Henry. For the record, Henry's smiling, trying to keep a laugh in.
Well, my question is, did you?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Yeah, I mean, well, I wouldn't want to know.
Yeah, there's a lot of us that don't want to know, General.
Oh, is that right? Well, then I'll give you the real answer. Yes, I did.
Oh, my God. You actually prostituted yourself?
I prostituted myself, but not the way you're thinking. I ghost wrote a novel. And
you get out of here. I ghost wrote a novel. For who?
Wouldn't you like to know?
All right. So that will conclude today's activity. We do not have a Bobby Dooley podcast for today. Bobby will return. I am assured Bobby will return tomorrow. But how are we integrating that, Bud, you know?
Well, right now, you were told by Mr. Hall not to use the word integrate because people are going to think you're talking about Bobby Black. A lot of people think she is.
A lot of people think Bobby's black. So if you say you're integrating her into the show, that will further reinforce. Now, there's nothing wrong with her being black, but she is white.
Okay. So what, am I not supposed to use the word integrate? Look, let me say something here.
Well, Phil...
No, let me just say something here. I'm getting sick and tired of people telling me what words I'm allowed to... Yes?
Phil, don't break my cast of that soberness, okay? I'm trying to help you get the big downloads. See, the name of the game here in the podcast game is downloads. You've got to get the downloads, man. We want download after download after download. We want people downloading in their sleep. We want people downloading where they're walking around, downloading somebody else's show, they're downloading yours. We want people mistakenly downloading your show when they think they're downloading Adam Corona or
Corolla.
Yeah, and we want people downloading his show when they think they're downloading your show. We want downloads until the cows come home, and only then will we be satisfied as to the...
Okay, that's the end for him. So, thank you. As I said, I'm not going to be, you know, nobody is going to tell me what words to use, what words not to use, et cetera, so on and so forth, okay? Okay?
Whatever. Got on.
We'll see you tomorrow, world-famous Phil Henry Show, and download this sucker when we finally get it posted in just an hour or so. And also download all of our classic podcasts for you Backstage Pass members. Go to philhenryshow.com and get a Backstage Pass. Become a member of our BSP family and get your shit together.
The Phil Henry Show has been brought to you by Pressel Brothers Fine Sporting Apparel.
Pressel Brothers in Hollywood.
Mr. Henry's Wardrobe by Pressel Brothers of Laguna Beach.
Baby, let me take you home. I love you all my life. You bet I'll treat you right if you just let me take you home. Anybody else in this world alone. You smiled at me, baby, and I could see my life planned out ahead. You took my hand and it felt so good, and this is what you said. Baby, won't you